Well, good morning and happy Easter. We just had an Easter sunrise service a few minutes back, and I think 15 or 20 people joined us for a Zoom meeting. It was kind of fun. And I had intended to record the message then, but I didn't turn the recorder on. So I'm redoing the message, and it will be mostly the same. One thing I'd like to add is some announcements. We do have the offering box in the back, and since the doors are locked, unless you have a key, you probably need to mail your offering to P.O. Box 56, Skykomish, Washington 98288. And of course, that's only for people that consider Skykomish Community Church their home. We certainly aren't trying to ask anybody else to pay for the ministry that takes place here. God has blessed this congregation in so many ways, and one of the ways is he's blessed them with a spirit of generosity, and they take care of what needs to be taken care of. For other announcements, pretty much because of the COVID-19 stay home, stay healthy order from the governor that has been extended through May 4th at least, we have postponed or eliminated all gatherings at the request of the governor, and that's because we love people enough to want to keep them safe and make sure that we're still a word preaching, people loving community, and nobody's harmed by the church being too arrogant to follow the edict of the government. We are instructed in Scripture to honor those that are in authority over us, and so we will do that. The Village Missionary Spotlight this week is the other Tony and Kathy. It's Tony and Kathy Pinkham, and they're in Kettle Falls, Washington. They say, "We are nestled in the beautiful northwest corner of Washington State. There's no shortage of rivers, lakes, mountains, wildlife, and waterfalls here. Lumber mills, schools, forest service, health centers, and stores are a few places where our people work. Their prayer requests are, please pray for the unsaved of all ages that we are trying to reach here. Also, please pray for our newly formed Love in Action group at our church and the ways we can serve each other and others in our community. Reaching others for Christ and helping people to grow in Him are where both of our hearts beat as a missionary couple, even after 38 years. It's our joy and honor to be village missionaries. And on a more personal note, we have three new grandbabies to be born in the next few months." So congratulations to Tony and Kathy Pinkham, and they're a pleasure to know and to be around. Beyond all of the announcements, We have the privilege of announcing today on Resurrection Sunday that He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
John 11:25, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." Last week was Palm Sunday, and I talked a little bit about all the crowds and the way that they threw palm branches down and their jackets and they welcomed Jesus as a king, and they shouted praises to him, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is the name of the Lord." And then within less than a week, the crowds were shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." And this was a very difficult week in history. Going from Hosanna to crucify him in such a short time shows how fickle we as humans are. One of Jesus' very best friends, Judas, betrayed him. He was turned over to the authorities. He was questioned. He was beaten. He was hung on a cross, and he died there, laid his life down for us. And he was buried. Well, a few days later, he rose again. And the resurrection story is really what Easter is all about. And we can go to the Gospels and learn a number of people that got to see him, even on the day that he was resurrected. The women that ran to the tomb to check on him, and Peter and John that took off as soon as they heard that the tomb was empty, and they ran to check it out, and scripture says, and John believed, and it also says, and Peter contemplated what this might mean. I think it took each of them quite a while to really face the reality of their friend, the Son of God, had died and then was now alive again. There was the two followers of Jesus that got to speak with him on the road to Emmaus, and he opened up scripture and showed him how all of scripture, Old Testament scripture, is about him. And he made it alive to them. And that's what Holy Spirit does for us if we read scripture now. He makes scripture alive. Well, after the resurrection, Jesus revealed himself to many people, not just on Resurrection Day, not just to the women and to his disciples, but he also, at one point, showed himself to over 500 people. He had a conversation with his half-brother James, and James was not a believer until after the resurrection and the conversation. If you can convince your brother that you're God, either your brother's crazy or you're really God. And in this case, James was not crazy. After Jesus continued revealing himself to people for about 40 days, he had the disciples meet him on a hill, and he gave them some instruction, the Great Commission, and then he ascended up into heaven. And then 9-10 days later came Pentecost, when Holy Spirit came down, and the rest of the story that is still being written on how Jesus is growing his church, his kingdom, took place. Today's text is from Ephesians 5, verse 5, and I'm going to say a quick prayer. Father, you are so good, you are so awesome, you're so wonderful to know, and we're grateful that it's not just a list of rules, but we also recognize, Lord Jesus, that if we know you, if you are dwelling in us as a people, we will have changed lives, and we look to lean heavier into you, to trust you more, and to know that only you can wipe away the old and bring about the new. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 5:5. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, then it says in kind of a parenthesis, such a person is an idolater, no immoral, impure, or greedy person has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's kind of important, because really, salvation is about having an inheritance that we get to be children of God, that he is preparing a room for us in his house. He wants us to come and dwell with him forever and ever. And yet it says immoral, impure, greedy people have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Ephesians 5:3, just two verses before that, verse 5 is almost a repeat of verse 3. Verse 3 says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's people. So the Easter message: Christ died for a reason. Ephesians 5:5 and Ephesians 5:3 tell us that immoral people, impure people, greedy people do not have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. It's improper for God's holy people to be even having a hint of sexual immorality, of impurity, or of greed. And greedy people are considered idolaters. The Easter message is that Christ died for a reason. When Christ came to dwell among us, his earthly ministry was all about repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Even before Jesus started sharing that message, though, John the Baptizer taught that same message. In Matthew 3:1 and 2, it says, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And then Matthew 4:17, Jesus found out that John had been put in prison. And it says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The good news of Easter is that Jesus paid for our sins. He made it possible for us to fully repent and to turn away from the bad and turn towards the good, to overcome evil with good, with God. Well, Jesus started preaching and continued in that repent for the kingdom of heaven has come near theme when we look at his first message that's recorded in Scripture. Matthew 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then in verse 10 of Matthew 5, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is for the people that recognize they need a Savior. They need to repent. They're ready to be poor in spirit. They recognize that, they are not worthy. If someone thinks they are good enough to get to heaven, they've proven that heaven's probably not for them. Jesus didn't come to save the ones that thought they were righteous. He came to save those of us that are willing to say, yes, I'm in need. I want you. I need you. I love you. I can't do this without you. And then blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. If people turn to God and they start living a righteous life, those that haven't chosen Christ will want to probably put them down and harass and harangue them. And that's where persecution comes from, people that don't want others to have something that they don't have. And yet, this is a message that's open to everyone. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Continuing on in that same message, Jesus said in Matthew 5:19 and 20, therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, Jesus is speaking of the kingdom of heaven. He's saying, you've got to be better than these people that think they know everything. These people that are living what looks like a perfect life. The Pharisees knew right from wrong. They could quote scripture. They could do all sorts of things that would make them look righteous. And they certainly knew what everybody else should be doing. They had lists and lists of rules, and they would hold people to account, and they would demonstrate that they knew what was right and what was wrong. And the teachers of the law were right along there with the Pharisees. These were people that tried their very, very, very best to live a perfect life. And Jesus says, that's not good enough. You have to be surpassing what the Pharisees and teachers of the law are able to do in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. There's a whole theme here, and it started, you know, with the repent message that John the Baptizer and Jesus both spoke, is turn away from evil, turn towards good. We've been speaking through Ephesians, and if Ephesians 4 talks a lot about putting off the old and renewing the attitude or spirit of your mind and then putting on the new. Well, here, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. If we don't know Jesus, if Jesus doesn't know us, we have no part in the kingdom of heaven. We are not going to be able to do the things we need to do and people that go to him and say, I deserve to be in heaven. I've done this and I've done that and I'm so special. And he says, I don't know you. The way we enter the kingdom is knowing Jesus. The way we enter the kingdom is through his righteousness and not our own. John chapter 6, verse 40 says, For my Father's will, you want to know what the will of the Father, the will of God is. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day. This good news of Jesus being the resurrection and the life, he's going to raise us up at the last day. He's going to bring us into his presence. When we look in Ephesians, the text today, and we learn that there's something that's going to prevent us from being in the kingdom, I'd like to put those verses in context. Ephesians 5:1 says, Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Aren't you pleased? All of you all that call yourselves the church, all of us, aren't we pleased that we're dearly loved children? We're adopted into the family, the family that we have no way to say, I deserve this. This is something that I have worked for and you owe it to me, God, to give me this. It's like, no. He's loving us as little children. He's loving us as dear children. And scripture says, follow God's example, therefore, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Jesus gave himself up. Jesus laid his life down. And then, on Resurrection Sunday, he was risen. Continuing in Ephesians 5, But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. We put away the old and we put on the new. We take off every hint of immorality, impurity, and greed, and we put on thanksgiving, thankful hearts, gratitude. And then today's text, For of this you can be sure. I love that we can be certain, we can be sure of everything in Scripture, and this one thing we can be sure of is no immoral, impure, or greedy person has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, knowing that Paul has been writing this letter of Ephesians to God's holy people, he recognizes that God's holy people still sin. He recognizes that God's holy people still have issues and problems in their lives. And yet, if our life is a life of immorality, of impurity, or greed, if we put other things so much higher in importance than we put Jesus Christ, we have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Today, April 12th, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, we're looking forward to the next weeks, what's going to come and what's going to happen. And over the next 7 weeks, I'm guessing that many of us will continue to socially and physically distance from one another, and yet hopefully our hearts will be full and we'll be able to love one another with the love that Christ loves us with, that we can walk in the way of love. On May 31st, of this year, the year of our Lord 2020, we'll celebrate the day of Pentecost. 50 days, Pentecost, 50 days after resurrection. We're looking forward to the opportunity to be a nation that can move about freely again, a nation that can walk in love in a way that we can demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ to the world. In his power, in his name, we'll be able to go forth and spread the good news that Christ is risen indeed. We've been asked to wait by the governor and by the president and other officials. The disciples were also asked to wait for the power of Holy Spirit to come on them. And when we or the disciples either try to build God's kingdom in our own power instead of in the power of God, we're going to find ways to mess things up. In Acts chapter 1, Dr. Luke writes, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen." So the book of Luke, there's documentation of how Jesus began his ministry and began to speak. But in the book of Acts, the good news is that God starts using his church, his people. He empowers the church with Holy Spirit power. And we are the continuation of the work that God began to do through Jesus. After his suffering, Jesus presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. That's the good news of Easter. Christ died for a reason, but he also rose again, and he lived and continues to live. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. We know that Christ died for a reason. He died so that we might live. He paid the penalty for our sins out of love for us. He sent us Holy Spirit to dwell in all of us all. And we're no longer slaves to sin. Because Christ died for a reason, to cover our sins, to cover the penalty for our sins, we get to live through his righteousness. He's a good, good God. He loves the whole world, it says in John 3:16. Scripture tells us that the Father doesn't have a will that any would perish. And yet we keep pushing him away and finding ways to prevent his work in us. Lord, I pray that today and going forward, this church, this Skycomish Community Church, this Washington State Church, this United States Church, this World Church, this one and only church, will find ways to demonstrate your love. Pray that we can grow in your grace. And we're so grateful that you are the resurrection and the life. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.